From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for no compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, disrupting everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis, and each week I bring you no compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and about the folks who have detailed information on saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, or email or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in that dragon at the road blockade. If you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil or pen handy and listen for the contact information at the end of the show. Wilderness alert! Stop logging in potential wilderness. The Forest Service putting together a plan to log in the wild and beautiful Monarch, that's Monash, I guess, Meadows, potential addition to the South Sierra Wilderness. The logging project would eliminate the area's eligibility for wilderness designation and thus leave it vulnerable to future degradation. Your help is needed to stop this wasteful and irresponsible project. The project calls for logging conifer trees on 35 acres around Jackass Meadow, about 28 miles north of Kernville, in a portion of the Fish Creek watershed. The meadow contains a grove of both conifers and aspen. In an effort to make this project seem environmentally friendly, the Forest Service is calling the project the Jackass Aspen Wildlife Habitat Improvement Project. In fact, this logging project is simply an attempt to commercially cut trees without having to follow the law. The Forest Service is claiming this is not an attempt to commercially cut trees. This is not a logging project, and therefore they do not have to document the environmental impacts. The project would have detrimental effects on this potential wilderness area. The area around Jackass Creek has already been thinned too much. Thinning is a type of logging in which some of the trees in an area are selected and then cut. This plan would thin more of the area, including inside the potential additions to the South Sierra Wilderness, and reduce the tree canopy so much that the risk of catastrophic fire would increase. Also, the Forest Service has not disclosed to the public where in Jackass Meadow the thinning would actually occur, or how close to Jackass Creek, Fish Creek, or the Jackass National Recreational Trail trees would be cut. So act now. Send a letter to the Sequoia National Forest asking them to cancel their plans to log in this potential addition to the South Sierra Wilderness. Here are some points to highlight in your letter. Jackass Creek is within a potential addition to the South Sierra Wilderness. The remaining untouched portion of this watershed is still wild and deserving of the permanent protection wilderness designation could provide. The logging project would eliminate the area's eligibility for wilderness designation and thus leave it vulnerable to future degradation. The thinning project is nothing more than an attempt to commercially log trees without having to do environmental documentation. Since this is indeed a logging project, a full environmental impact statement should be done. This project would have negative impacts not only on the existing wildlife and habitat, but also on the fire conditions of this high Sierra Meadow area. Thinning even more trees from the Jackass Creek watershed would reduce the tree cover, allowing the underlying plants to become drier and more likely to burn. Here's the address. Please send your letter to Judy Schutza, that's S-C-H-U-T-Z-A, District Ranger, Cannell Meadow Ranger District, attention Kathy Roach, that's R-O-C-H-E, Sequoia National Forest, P.O. Box 9, Kernville, California, 93238. Once again, that address, Judy Schutza, S-C-H-U-T-Z-A, District Ranger, Cannell Meadow Ranger District, Attention Kathy Roach, R-O-C-H-E, Sequoia National Forest, P.O. Box 9, Kernville, California, 93238. And please have that letter sent by December 31st. If you have any comments or questions about this potential logging, you can call Cal Wild. Tina will answer the phone at 530-758-0380. That's 530-758-0380. Or you can send Tina email at tina@calwild.org. And we want to thank the California Wilderness Coalition for sending that along. All right. Somebody sent me a letter to me. It said, "Dear Uncle Dennis, woo! The California Fish and Game Commission will vote on the petition to list the California tiger salamander on Friday, December 7th at the City Council Chambers, 333 West Ocean Boulevard in Long Beach, California, 90802. Please attend and voice your support for protecting this magnificent species. Without your support, this creature may continue its slide toward extinction in California." Once again, the California Fish and Game Commission will vote on a petition to list the California tiger salamander under the California Endangered Species Act on Friday, December 7th at the City Council Chambers, 333 West Ocean Boulevard in Long Beach, California, 90802. It doesn't say what time. Oh, here it is. The commission hearing begins at 8:30 in the morning and should be considered at some point during the morning. If you can't stay for the entire session, please come early and fill out a speaker card in support of the listing. I encourage you to go to these. It's a really fine thing to do is go down and speak your mind in front of the California Fish and Game Commission. Do that next Friday, December 7th. There's other stuff you can do next Friday if you're not going to be in Long Beach. If you're going to be in Eugene, Oregon, you can go listen to the Casey Neal Trio. He'll be at Sam Bond's Garage. That's at 407 Blair. I guess if you're in Eugene, you know where Blair is. It's at 407, and that all starts at 9 p.m. And on Saturday, December 8th, the Casey Neal Trio will be in Portland, Oregon at St. John's Pub, 8203 Ivanhoe in the St. John's neighborhood. That one starts at 8 p.m., and it's $10 in advance, $12 at the door. And there's another band opening, the Single Malt Band. You'll have a couple of shots of that. And then the following Thursday, December 13th, they'll be in Bellingham, Washington at the Wild Buffalo at 208 West Holly. Don't know the time of that one, but you can call 360-752-0848 to find out the time of that show, or you can go to www.wildbuffalo.net and check out their schedule there. And then on Friday the 14th, the Casey Neal Trio will be in Seattle, Washington at the Bitters Company, 513 North 36th in the Fremont neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. $5 to get in. Again, I don't know what time, but anyway, Casey's going to be traveling around, spending January in New York City solo, and in New England, February. The trio will tour Ohio and Michigan and go to Wintergrass in Tacoma, Washington. In March, they'll be in Texas, April in California and the Northwest. And in May, they're going to the United Kingdom. So if you're in one of those places, watch out for Casey Neal. He'll be coming your way. Also happening in the Pacific Northwest is Dana Lyons. Now, Dana Lyons, what a hell of a guy.
Cows with Guns!
Cows with Guns and a lot of other music. The guy is just one prolific songwriter. Anyway, on next Saturday, December 8th at 8 p.m., he'll be appearing in Olympia, Washington at the Traditions Cafe, 300 Fifth Avenue Southwest. And if you want more information about that show, you can call 360-705-2819. Tickets are $10, $5 for students. And traditionsfairtrade.com is a website to try out. Of course, Dana wants to point out to us that you can get Cows with Guns CDs as well as T-shirts and books at www.cowswithguns.com or www.danalyons.com. That's DanaLyons.com. I don't know why you want to go there. You can get everything you want at cowswithguns.com. Judge refuses to restore Oregon coho salmon to the threatened list during a legal battle. Federal judge has refused to restore Oregon coastal coho salmon to the threatened species list while conservationists try to overturn his earlier ruling that stripped the fish's protection. On September 13th, U.S. District Judge Michael Hogan threw out a 1998 National Marine Fisheries Service regulation that protected coho salmon spawned in the Oregon wild, but not those raised in hatcheries. He said it didn't make sense to distinguish between the two because they are genetically similar. He sent the matter back to the Fisheries Service for reconsideration and lifted the Endangered Species Act protection for the fish, whose home streams are located on the northern two-thirds of the Oregon coast. A coalition of conservation groups had filed a motion asking Hogan to restore the fish's protection while they tried to intervene in the case. Hogan said the fish were in no imminent danger of extinction. He also said he did not want to interfere with federal biologists who were continuing to discuss whether the fish merits protection. Hogan said he would take more time to decide whether the environmentalists could appeal his ruling. Patty Goldman, an attorney for the environmental group, said that if Hogan denies them permission to intervene, they would go to the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Since Hogan's ruling, logging has begun on some federal lands that had been withdrawn to protect coho salmon. And we want to thank the Associated Press for that story. Satellite data confirms warming of Earth's climate. A clear pattern of global warming is emerging as American space scientists analyze satellite data from more than 7,000 weather stations around the world. A layer of air that wraps around the Earth is indeed warmer than it has been in the past, according to Dr. James Hansen of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies in New York and Mark Imhoff of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. Hansen, Imhoff, and a team of researchers analyzed records for 7,200 global weather stations and found that the air temperature near the Earth's surface has warmed on the average of 1 degree Fahrenheit, that's 6-tenths of a degree Celsius, globally over the last century. The researchers cite humans as at least a partial cause. Warming around the Earth has been widespread, but it is not present everywhere, Hansen said. Warming in the past 50 years has been rapid in Alaska and Siberia, but Greenland has become cooler. The lower 48 United States have become warmer recently, but only enough to make the temperature comparable to what it was in the 1930s. The warming air is due to the greenhouse effect, the warming of climate that results when the atmosphere traps heat radiated from Earth towards space. Certain gases in the atmosphere resemble glass in a greenhouse, allowing sunlight to pass in, but blocking Earth's heat from escaping into space. The gases that contribute to the greenhouse effect include water vapor, carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxides, and fluorocarbons. Oh, those wonderful chlorofluorocarbons. Atmospheric CO2 has increased about 25%. Near the early 1800s, climatologists at the Goddard Space Flight Center estimate the increase since 1958 has been 10%. Currently, the level of atmospheric CO2 is rising at a rate of 0.4% per year. Human beings add carbon dioxide to the atmosphere mainly by burning fossil fuels such as coal and oil. Deforestation is the second major way humans increase atmospheric carbon dioxide. Felled timber releases carbon dioxide as it burns or decays, and the disturbed soils produce carbon dioxide from burned organic matter. Forests give way largely to annual crops that store CO2 only for a season or two, or to cities with little vegetation at all. Hansen and Imhoff are making an effort to minimize the distortion of the record caused by urban heat island effects as they research global warming. Urban heat islands are created when cities replace fields and forests with asphalt roads and tar roofs. Trees provide shade and cool air through evaporation. Hard, dark surfaces such as pavement store heat during the day and then released at night, keeping the city hotter for longer periods of time than temperatures in the same area before the city was built. To counteract the urban heat island effect, Hansen and Imhoff used images of nighttime lights obtained by the U.S. Defense meteorological satellites to identify weather stations where urbanization was most likely to contaminate the weather records. The researchers used nightlight brightness to classify the location of each weather station as urban, near urban, or rural. They found more warming generally occurred at urban stations and used neighboring rural stations to adjust the long-term temperature trend at urban stations, obtaining a more accurate measure of the true climatic change. Hansen and his colleagues classified the global climate into three time segments between 1900 and 2000. Each segment revealed a small swing in the Earth's global temperature over a period of time. From 1900 to 1940, the data showed the world warmed. That warming may be in part a response to released greenhouse gases and in part natural climate variability, Imhoff said. But between 1940 and 1965, the globe cooled by about 0.18 degrees Fahrenheit or a tenth of a degree Celsius, which some scientists attribute to an increase in fine airborne particles known as aerosols during this time. Most aerosols occur naturally or originating from volcanoes, dust storms, forest and grassland fires, living vegetation, and sea spray. Human activities such as the burning of fossil fuels and the alteration of natural vegetation, clear cutting, also generate aerosols. Averaged over the globe, aerosols made by human activities currently account for about 10% of the total amount of aerosols in our atmosphere, and most of that 10% is concentrated in the northern hemisphere, especially downwind of industrial sites, slash-and-burn agricultural regions, and overgrazed grasslands. Aerosols can lead to more cloud cover and block incoming radiation. Aerosols increases are related to the rate of growth of fossil fuel use, which peaked during this period from 1940 to 1965. The third period, from 1965 to the year 2000, showed a large and widespread warming around the world. During this time, warming intensified in the El Niño region of the eastern Pacific Ocean and in the Indian, Atlantic, and Arctic oceans also warmed. This research was conducted as part of NASA's Earth Sciences Enterprise, a long-term research effort dedicated to understanding how the natural and human-induced changes affect our global environment. And the story was brought to us by the Environmental News Network. And now we're going to take a little musical break. It's another Dana Lyon song.
Svensson was a farmer. He grew the Minnesota wheat. He rode there with his daughter, high upon the thresher's seat. They broke down on the hillside, the radiator spitting steam. Went back to get the toolbox so they could fix the old machine. With a turn of the wrench and a twist of the screw, we can fix the tractor, we can make it like new. But that day they got a letter that said the power lines would come right across their farmland, right across the setting sun. So they gathered all the family and talked late into the night. We cannot let them do this. We've got to put up one hell of a fight with a turn of the wrench and a twist of the screw. We'll apply a little pressure and we'll see what that will do. So they phoned 100 farmers and drove to the Twin Cities. Met there with the governor and they sued the utility. But after writing all the letters and paying all the legal costs to the power of the city, once again the farmers lost. And in the still of the evening, the wind is all you hear. I watch the waves on the wheat fields alone. I walk the furrows of earth I plant year after year. This is our land, this is our home. is our land, this is our home. So they met there at the tavern, but there wasn't much to say. The power lines may come, but they will not stay. With a turn of the wrench and a twist of the screw, what was once put together, we can easily undo. With bandanas on their faces, careful not to make a sound, they loosened all the bolts that held the towers to the ground. And several weeks later, with nobody around, the Minnesota wind blew tower after tower after tower down. With a turn of the wrench and a twist of the screw, what was once put together, we can easily undo. With a turn of the wrench and a twist of the screw, what was once put together, we can easily undo. And in the still of the evening, the wind is all you hear. I watch the waves on the alone. I walk the furrows of earth I plant year after year. This is our land, this is our home. This is our land, this is our home. This is our land, this is our home. This is our land, this is our home.
Animules out there?
Yeah!
I am an animal.
Yeah! You are an animal.
Yeah!
We both are animals.
Yeah!
We eat like animals.
Yeah!
We dance like animals.
Yeah!
We love like animals.
Yeah!
We all are animals.
Yeah!
We all are animals.
Yeah!
The reptiles have some class. They slither about in the grass. They like it when the weather's damp. They party deep in the swamp. They got smooth and shiny scales, long tongues and longer tails. Ooh!
The birds do it all with their beaks. They eat and they clean and they speak. Their wings take them high in the air. And who knows what they do up there?
and got dances that can't be beat, with her feathers and rubber feet. Tweet, tweet, let's hear some birds out there.
You are an animal.
Yeah.
We both are animals.
Yeah.
We eat like animals.
Yeah.
We dance like animals.
Yeah.
We love like animals.
Yeah.
We all are animals.
Yeah.
We all are animals.
Yeah.
The insects have some pride. The weather skeletons outside. They can live anywhere. Hot or cold, they do not care. With antennas and many eyes, they eat, reproduce, and they die.
The mammals are a wild bunch. They eat each other for lunch. They got fur as soft as silk. They feed their babies milk. They sing all the latest tunes. At night they howl at the moon.
Have a howl welcoming back the wild wolf to Washington.
The fish dig a whole nother scene. Their whole world is aquamarine. Some are thin and some are fat. Up their faces are flat. They take transatlantic trips. They do strange things with their lips. Ew.
I see some fish lips out there. Well, let's not forget the plants. The plants have so much fun. They don't eat anyone. They just soak up with the sun. They rub the branches in the breeze. The dandelions tickle the trees. Oh,
I am an animal.
Yeah.
You are an animal.
Yeah.
We both are animals.
Yeah.
We eat like animals.
Yeah.
We dance like animals.
Yeah.
We love like animals.
Yeah.
We all are animals.
Yeah.
We all are animals.
Yeah.
I am an animal.
Yeah.
I am an animal.
And Earth First Radio will be right back, so stay tuned.